Good morning. Thank you for joining us for our Wednesday night service. Today is our second sermon in a five-part series called Going for the Gold. The Bible says there are five heavenly rewards or crowns that we can receive at the judgment seat of Christ if we live in such a way that we can earn those particular crowns. Each week, one of those crowns will be the basis for my message. Last week, the message was based on the crown of rejoicing. That crown is awarded to those who have led others to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's also referred to as the soul winner's crown. Today's message is based on the crown of righteousness. The Bible says that the crown of righteousness is awarded to those who have a longing for the Lord Jesus Christ and look intentionally for His return. The crown of righteousness is found in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Paul says, "Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all of those who have loved His appearing." David Jeremiah, a well-known pastor of a megachurch, an author of many books, and known as a Bible scholar, he said this about the crown of righteousness in his commentary. "Paul was prepared to meet the Lord, and he was certain of his own imminent death as he wrote the second letter to Timothy. Like Paul, some people have their heart set on heaven and seeing Jesus Christ. Those are the people that will win the crown of righteousness because they love and long for the appearing of the Lord." So today's lesson is taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. If you have your Bibles at home, you're welcome to turn there to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We'll be looking at verses 13 through 18. It's a well-known passage of Scripture. It talks about the return of Jesus. We're going to look at that today. Paul here is writing to the church in the city of Thessalonica. The church there was actually doing pretty well and thriving and growing, and the people in the church there were excited about their new life as believers and their church. But there was one thing they was confused about, and that was the return of Jesus. And Paul addresses that here in chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. He says here, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus Christ. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you'd give me the words to say, Lord, and I claim Isaiah 55:11, as your word goes forth, I pray that it would not return void, but accomplish what pleases you. In Jesus' name, amen. I recently read an article on the internet, and the title of the article was 21 Things to Look Forward to in 2021. The first paragraph of the article said this: 2020 felt like the longest year of your life, but was also a roller coaster that sped by for others. Thankfully, 2020 is finally over. And while we don't know what to expect in 2021, there's definitely a lot to look forward to. Then the writer listed 21 things to look forward to in the year 2021. I'm not going to share all 21 of those things that made his list, but I want to give you some of the things that he talked about that we can look forward to in 2021. First of all, he said that we can look forward to the Tokyo Olympics. I mentioned that in my message last week. The Tokyo Olympics will take place this year beginning on July 23rd and run through August the 8th. So if you're into watching the Olympics on TV, you have that to look forward to this year. The writer also said that in 2021, we can look to traveling and gatherings. The writer said that we'll be able to take long vacations and gather with friends now due to the fact that the restrictions are being lifted. And he listed in several categories here. He said that in 2021, there's new TV shows to look forward to, new movies to look forward to, new music, and new video games in 2021 to look forward to. So if you're into those things, you have those to look forward to as well. He also said in 2021, something we can look forward to, he said that 6G is coming in 2021. That has to do with the speed of wireless technology. He said that 4G and 5G will be a thing of the past, and 6G is coming, and so you will have faster internet now with 6G. He also indicated that in 2021, we have drone delivery to look forward to. He indicated that Amazon, UPS, and Walmart have already started making deliveries using drones. But he indicated that in 2021, that pizza will begin to be delivered with drones. So if you order pizza from Domino's this year in 2021, you may have it delivered to your doorstep with a drone. He said that in 2021, we have a total lunar eclipse to look forward to. It's going to take place on May 26th. And then the writer of the article indicated that something we have to look forward to is number 21 on his list. He said we can look forward to the end of the COVID pandemic. And then after the heading that said end of COVID pandemic was being something that we can look forward to, he had in parentheses the word hopefully. But there is one common thing that we can be sure as Christians that we all can look forward to, and that is the return of Jesus. The Bible doesn't tell us when Jesus will return. It could be today. It could happen before I finish this message. It could be tomorrow. It could be in 2021, it could be next year. The return of Jesus could be 1,000 years from today. Jesus said in Matthew 24:36, he said, "But of that day," speaking about his return, "but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." Many people try to predict when Jesus will return. But the Bible says that no one knows, but the Bible does say that the believer who longs for, the Christian, the believer that has an intense desire for Jesus to return, will receive a heavenly reward. That person will receive a crown, the crown of righteousness. So the title of our lesson today is Jesus is Coming Soon. Notice three things in this passage here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. First of all, let's talk about the resurrection. When Jesus returns, there will be the resurrection. Look at verse 13 and 14. Notice what it says. "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, Notice this, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. As I said, Paul is writing here to the church in the city of Thessalonica. The believers there, the Christians there in Thessalonica, they believed in the reality of the return of Jesus. And they were very eager to go. They were waiting for this to happen. They believed and understood in their heart that this return of Jesus was imminent, that it would happen in their lifetime. Paul wrote this letter around A.D. 50 or A.D. 51, and that is a short time after, basically 20 years after Jesus died on the cross, was buried, raised from the dead, and ascended to back to heaven. So they thought this return of Jesus would be soon, that he went to heaven and he's coming right back. And so they thought it would be in their lifetime. And one thing they were confused about is the fact that their brothers and sisters had already died. Their brothers and sisters in Christ had already died. And so they thought that they missed the return of Jesus. So Paul says here, I don't want you to be confused or misunderstand this doctrine. He says, first of all, concerning those who have fallen asleep. In other words, concerning those those who have died, those who have they are dead in Christ. Notice verse 14. He talks about in verse 14 that when Jesus returns, those who are asleep in Jesus, those who have already passed away, they will return with Jesus. And then in verse 16, he says, when Jesus returns, the dead in Christ will rise first. So that sounds a little bit confusing, can sound somewhat contradictory, that he refers to those that have died dead in Christ, they'll return with Jesus. And then in two verses later, he says, those will be raised first from the dead. So let's talk about that for a moment. Every person, every human being is born into this world with a body, a soul, and a spirit. First of all, our physical body is basically our earth suit. Our earth suit, our physical body, we're created by God and given a physical body. And our bodies come in all shapes and sizes and colors. And our earth suit, our physical body, is basically the container of our soul. It's the earth suit, and within that earth suit is our soul. And our soul is basically who we are. Our soul involves a lot of different things, but that's basically our personality. That is who we are as a person. And it is our soul that when we die, our soul goes to heaven, and our earth suit, our physical body, is left behind. And we also have a spirit. The spirit is what enables us to live in a relationship with God. The spirit is what differentiates us from animals, because we have a spirit. And the Bible says in John 4:24 that God is a spirit. So as human beings, we have a spirit, and that is what enables us to communicate, to pray, to talk with God. It enables us to have a relationship with God, who is a spirit. So when a Christian dies, their soul goes to heaven. Yes, praise the Lord. Their physical body is buried or stays behind. Remember, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8 says this. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That is referring to who we are. Our personality, when we die, that leaves our physical body, leaves our earth suit, goes to heaven, and we are present with the Lord. I read a magazine article, very interesting article. It said the title was this, 10 Graves That Are Remarkably Secure. That was the title. It said in the article, people go to great lengths to keep their deceased loved ones safe and secure, and it gave the top 10 examples. Let me share with you the first three. First of all, it said that it talked about a man by the name of George Pullman. George Pullman, he was a very successful businessman in the railroad industry. May have heard of the Pullman car. George Pullman died in 1897. His family was afraid that angry employees would try to steal Pullman's dead body. So they had Mr. Pullman's body buried in an 8-foot-deep pit. The pit was lined with steel and reinforced concrete. The casket was covered in asphalt, concrete, and steel. And then the article talked about Abraham Lincoln. It said that gangsters tried to steal Abraham Lincoln's coffin. And so his son paid $700 to have his coffin placed in a steel cage, and that steel cage was then encased in concrete. And then the author also talked about something a little more recent, talked about Ronnie Van Zant. Ronnie Van Zant was the lead singer of rock band called Lynyrd Skynyrd back in the 70s, very popular back in the 70s. Well, Ronnie Van Zant died in a plane crash in 1977. The article said that he was buried in a mausoleum in Orchard Park, Florida. His body lay there in the mausoleum for 23 years. And then vandals broke in to the mausoleum, did damage to his coffin or tomb. And so his coffin was removed and relocated to a cemetery in Jacksonville, Florida, and buried in a concrete vault. Listen to me, listen. One day, Jesus will return. And the physical body of every Christian that has passed away before the return of Jesus will be resurrected. Their body will be set free from the grave. Their body will be set free from that coffin. It doesn't matter how safe or secure the loved ones may have attempted to make that physical body. When Jesus returns, those who are dead in Christ will be raised from the dead. Those who are dead in Christ will be raised from the grave. Their bodies will once again be reunited, if you will, with their soul. So we see here, first of all, we talk about when Jesus returns. We see the resurrection. Number two, notice the rapture. Notice the rapture. Look at verse 16 and 17. Verse 16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. There's the resurrection. Verse 17, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. You know, the Bible says that an angel came to announce the birth of Jesus. On that first Easter morning, an angel came to announce the resurrection of Jesus. But when it's time for God's people to go home, when it's time for the church to meet with Jesus in the air, Jesus himself will come. Jesus himself will come back to get his church. He died on the cross for our sins. He was raised from the dead, and 40 days later, he ascended into heaven, and one day, Jesus will descend back down to earth from heaven again. The world as we know it will end. It will be an extreme makeover. The dead in Christ will rise first, yes. Then, the Bible says, those who are alive at the moment Jesus returns will be caught up together in the air. The resurrection and the rapture. The word rapture comes from a Latin word that means to snatch or to seize. A sudden taking away, if you will. So understand this, that the rapture of those who are alive when Jesus returns, it will be sudden. When the rapture happens, it won't be like a ride at Six Flags. You know, you go to Six Flags, you're going to ride one of the rides there. You know, you get in line, you stand in line, you get to the ride that you're going to be riding, the cart or whatever it is, and you sit down, you get buckled in. You may want to take a selfie or two, and then the ride takes off very slowly. My friends, that's not how the rapture is going to take place. The Bible says that this event we're talking about when Jesus returns will happen like the twinkling of an eye. It will be so sudden and so quick. But not only will the rapture be sudden, the rapture is also very serious. When Jesus comes back, when he returns for his people, for his church, only the saved will go. Only the redeemed will be raptured. There's no second load going. No second opportunity, no second rapture. And the fact that this event when Jesus returns is so sudden and so serious, that should have an effect on us, on how we live as believers. Think about it. Listen, it could happen at any moment. And we should live our life as Christians within the context of the fact that our Savior can come back for us at any moment. We want to be ready for his return. We want to live in such a way that we know that the very next moment, the very next second, if you will, it could be the return of our Lord of Lords and King of Kings. I heard a story about a little girl that was asking her mother questions about the return of Jesus. She had heard about the return of Jesus at church and began to ask her mother questions. And so the little girl said to her mother, she said, "Mommy, do you believe Jesus will come back?" "Yes," the mother said. "Today?" "Yes," said the mother. "In a few minutes?" "Yes, dear." After a short pause, the little girl said, "Mommy, will you comb my hair?" Listen, the little girl, she understood that when Jesus comes back, we need to be ready. We need to look our best. We don't necessarily have to look our physical best, but we need to be living our best spiritually. We need to be ready for the return of our Savior. If Jesus were to come back today, would you be taken up with him? If that sudden, serious event of Jesus' return, if that were to happen today, would you be left behind? Jesus, the first time Jesus came was 2,000 years ago. He was born into this world to die. At the age of 33, he died on an old rugged cross. And he died on the cross for one reason. He died for your sins, my sins, and the sins of the whole world. After his death, he was buried in a borrowed tomb where he lay for 3 days. And after 3 days, he was raised from the dead. 40 days later, as I said a moment ago, he ascended back to heaven. But he lives today. He lives today. And if you trust in him by faith and ask him into your heart to be your personal savior, he will save you. You'll become a child of God. You'll have a home in heaven. And when he returns, you'll meet him in the air and be with him for eternity. So we see here in this passage, talking about the return of Jesus, we see first of all the resurrection. Number two, we see the rapture. And notice thirdly, notice the rejoicing. Look at the second part of verse 17 and verse 18. Notice what it says. We'll begin with the first part of verse 17. It says, "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." Notice this. "And thus we shall always be with the Lord." Verse 18, "Therefore comfort one another with these words." The primary purpose of this passage that Paul is writing here is to provide comfort and encouragement to God's people. This event that Paul is writing about here is not fantasy. This is not false prophecy. This is not a new idea for a reality TV show. This is the reality of the return of Jesus. As I mentioned a moment ago, one day when he returns, this world in which we live, this world as we know it, will end. And those who have accepted Jesus as Savior, those who are alive and those who are dead in Christ, will be caught up together in this sudden snatching to meet Jesus in the air. And it says here, we'll be with him for eternity. This is a reason for every believer to live a life of joy and rejoicing. This is reason for celebration. The return of Jesus is not something to be feared. It is something to look forward to. And as I said before, Paul tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, that every believer that has this deep longing in their heart and this deep desire for the return of Jesus will receive a crown when they stand before him. Let's pray together. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the promises of your word. We thank you for the fact that one day Jesus will return. May we live life with the understanding that Jesus is coming back at any moment. May we live life within the context that our Savior is coming to get us, coming to take us home, help us to be ready. Now, just thank you for the promise for any believer that lives life with a deep, heartfelt desire to see the return of Jesus will one day receive a crown, the crown of righteousness. And we thank you for that, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen.